Today's program is brought to you by Michter's Distillery. Visit Michter's.com to find out how their taste is everything, cost be damned attitude is creating some of the finest whiskeys available.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. Good morning, everyone. I'm really excited today. We have in studio Matt Wong. He's the general manager at Sherry Lehman Wine Store here in New York City. He's been there for 13 years, and which sounds like quite a long time, but nothing in comparison to Sherry Lehman, which has been around 80 years. Really historic wine store in the city. It's opened up a year after Prohibition ended, which was 1933, and then Lehman opened up in 44. Great store on top of being quite an historic one. It was the number one wine shop in America, said by Forbes. Zagat has multiple times said it's the number one wine shop in New York, retailer of the year from Wine Enthusiast. Just a great place to buy all of your Petrus needs. No, great wines at very high-end wines, as well as they have quite a bit of wines in the $15 price point. Anyway, Matt, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
We like to start off the show with the best wine I've had in the past week. Do you have any thoughts? I'm sure you get to drink quite a lot of very, very nice wine.
We actually last Wednesday we got to preview the new Opus One that just came out, the 2011, which is releasing in October. And everybody knows Opus One is the cooperation of Mouton Rothschild and who we all know, and Robert Mondavi. And it's a red wine that's just iconic through the country and through the world, actually.
And how are the 2011s drinking? Is it seems like that is maybe a powerful wine that needs some time to age, or do they kind of make the softer style? I don't drink Opus One often.
believe it or not, it's actually the 11s are I like them. They're not powerful at all. They're very sexy. They're very lean. They're more like French. They're more European style. Not your powerful California. It was a lot of rain. They didn't have a massive amount of sunlight. So it's a wine that I think is actually going to last longer than the big fruit forward monsters you get out there.
All right, and drinkable in it. And what is a bottle of Opus One retail for at Cherry Lane?
It's going at $300. It's not it's not your everyday wine. But you know, you asked me what did I drink lately. It's out of this world. It's like, yeah. You know, when do you ever get the chance to just have a glass of Opus One for lunch?
Even at, you know, I went to visit the winery years back when I went to Napa, and they even like charge you. It was at the time $25 just to taste the wine when you're at the winery.
They do. They raise the price.
They raise the price since then
because they can't. It's so popular right now. They doubled the price and they still can't keep it. It's the reservations are out the door.
that is absolutely nuts. You know what? I actually have to give my wine of the week a little bit more thought. I usually prepare it on the way over here, and I forgot to do that, so I apologize. But I'm going to give my wine week a little more thought. Thank you so much for sharing that. Matt, let's talk a little bit about first what are your, as the general manager of this huge wine shop, $50 million a year in revenue. It's an amazing number for me to think about. What are your responsibilities like? How did you get to be the GM? I know you kind of started from the ground up, worked your way to the top.
Yeah, it's a great culture. Everyone who started at Cherry Lehman starts on that sales floor. Most of us, the CEO and the COO right now, the owners of the company, started as temporary holiday salespeople. And from that point, you know, we grew and we engulfed it. We love it, and we just took it on. And I started as a temporary salesperson. I left the cooking world to learn about wine. I was cooking at Danielle, and I said, I want to give the wine thing a chance again. And then I got the bug right after the month and a half that I was there. It was, I found out I was sitting at James Beard's seat because he used to do a cookbook with Sam Aaron, the founder of Sherry Lehman. So, you know, when it comes to cooking and wine, I mean, this iconic store is well versed in restaurants and throughout New York City and throughout the world.
Wow. So that must have been amazingly to sit at the seat that James Beard sat at. It's been hugely impressive.
a kid coming out of the French Culinary Institute who was just oogling and ogling at all these names you hear about, and I actually cooked at the James Beard house, and to actually say James Beard sat here for years.
So when you started at Sherry, did you think that this was your career path, or was this I'm going to dip my toe into it and see if I like it?
No, it was a dip my toe into it. Not at all. You know, nobody plans on being in this business like that. You catch the bug. But it had everything I loved about the food and wine world, and to be able to enjoy it, to experience it.
Can you share with us a little bit more about the history of Sherry Lehman? How did it go from a year after Prohibition, 1934, the shop opens up? I imagine not selling the finest Bordeaux and Burgundy and Opus One. Well, that didn't even exist. But not selling super fine wines at that time to a major player in the world of wine retailing.
Yeah, it's a great story. You know, they were bootleggers. I mean, the Aarons were they were dock bosses, and then you see that show Boardwalk Empire. You know that scene in with New York where they control the docks, and then they were, we had a great association with the 21 Club, and then right after Prohibition, Sherry Wine and Spirits became opened up, and mostly back then it was spirits, so it was not wine dominated. People were drinking a lot of, the Pimm's Cup, the J&B's, the Johnny Walkers. And later on, we acquired a company called Lehman Wine and Spirits in the 70s, and which became Sherry Lehman. But throughout that, we were introducing brands such as Dom Perignon. We brought the Bordeaux market to the USA, with the Bordeaux Futures campaign with Chateau and Estates, and we just kept growing and growing to a company that has over 7,000 different wine labels now.
Yeah, what were some of the big landmarks along the way? When did it go to from a more spirit focus to high-end wine, top quality customer service, and that sort of thing?
I think after the war, World War II, they mm-hmm. kind of, after the 40s, they in the 60s when Bordeaux in the 61 vintage came out, people started recognizing Bordeaux, and it then started to really shift towards the wine market because people were now buying futures and they were understanding this culture of buying your wine now, let it sit down, drink it later, just keep building vintage upon vintage, and also the customer service. I mean, and it was something that everybody wanted to do on their own. Nobody wanted their assistant to do it. They wanted to come into the shop, talk to your wine salesperson, say, listen, I want to buy something. I want it delivered. We would do that. We'd package it up for you. It was this kind of this old school style of merchants that doesn't exist as much anymore. We still cherish that, though.
Yeah. Now, how have things changed in the retail world since you started? I worked in wine retail 10 years ago at Italian Wine Merchants, and you started even a few years before me, and you're still around. So you've seen, I imagine, a shift. And how would you characterize that?
A big shift called online. When I came in, I think we launched our website a year prior to that. And since then, it was, it was cash and carry. And now with online, it became this whole thing where people just didn't want to talk to anybody anymore. They just want to order their wine online and just have it delivered. I'm sure when you worked there too, it was kind of a more interaction with person to person.
And, you know, at Italian wine merchants, I found that my job was to be on the floor, but I'm sure we did as much business or more so over the phone as opposed to on the floor. But I liked that. I don't think I would have enjoyed being on the phones and making sales in that way. I liked that customer interaction when people came in and was able to talk with them about wine.
It's becoming harder and harder for that for people. The phone is easier because they can just call and they can talk to the people they like to talk to. They know, they inform them about wine, they set up their deliveries. And when they do come into the store, you know, they make a special point of doing it. So it's like it's an event for them now. Say, oh, I'm going to be stopping by. We want to sit down with you. But we have noticed that when you, because of delivery, people buy, you buy a lot more wine, you don't have to carry it.
Yes. Well, so if you were to be speaking with someone who's starting a new wine retailing business, do you feel like for them there's any point in having a brick and mortar store? It seems like there are so many fixed costs that come with it. Not at least that the rent in New York City is just absolutely absurd. Doesn't matter where you are in New York at this point. Or can people? Do you think that people can exist just in the online world? And you guys have a pretty, you know, primo Park Avenue location, so I think you'd have a good insight on this.
Yeah, brick and mortar is still a necessity in the wine world, spirit and wine world, because people still like, they think of it as it's an item, especially in New York where you have to go there and pick it up. You can't just, it's not about delivery. It's not about, they just feel better going to the liquor store. You know, they still have that mentality. The online guys, that's a tough market out there.
Yeah.
Because you're competing with people who are doing the same exact thing you are, and you know you're trying to go up against guys who are buying a lot more than you and offering free shipping and margins that you can't even compete with.
Right.
But then again, you never know if these guys have the wine at times.
Do you find that people are using things like Wine Searcher and saying, well, I can get it for $2.50 cheaper in New Jersey?
Oh, yeah. They do that all the time. They'll bring their Amazon thing, show us that, you know, they'll search the wine, say, I can get it at a lower price in New Jersey. I said, well, that's great, but, you know, but for us, we're going to stick to our guns and say our quality, we buy first source. We don't go gray market. We have 55-degree temperature controlled in both of our locations in our 65,000-square-foot warehouse in Brooklyn and our 10,000-bottle cellar right on 505 Park Avenue. Mm-hmm. Everything you buy from us is, when it comes up, we package it up. We'll box it up. All of those services are included, and we deliver free pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, I learned early on in my wine career, and I got burned. There was a little defunct store on 14th Street it's not around anymore, but they had all of this great old wine, like Montevertine from the 90s for like $40 a bottle. And I was like, oh my god! But all this wine in every single bottle was bad because of how they stored it. So it's so important to go to a retailer where you can trust that's happening. I always liked at Italian wine merchants, they every single bottle, just as at Sherry, it was kept in the 55-degree cellar, even if it was a $15 bottle. Mm-hmm. And then it came up through a little dumbwaiter, and I was proud. And you know, they could probably get that bottle for $2 cheaper around the corner, but I think that it makes a big difference.
Yeah, you get excited when you see that little elevator come up and out come your bottles at perfect temperature and they bag it up nicely. It's instead of, you know, going to, you know, you grab your bottle out of a bin in a supermarket and, you know, you go up to the counter with it.
Yeah. So it's something that you mentioned, allude to a few times. And I think this is the question that's been, that retailers have been asking every year for the past, you know, maybe 15 years or since Bordeaux futures has been a big thing. Mm-hmm. Has the market for Bordeaux futures and high-end Bordeaux finally topped out? How was it this year? Or is it still going strong? Is this still like the greatest investment in wine because the prices just seem to have no roof to them?
We had a little bit of a correction. You know, everyone was talking back in after the crash in 08, you know, they lowered their prices, but then 9 and 10, they came back with these astronomical, they had great scores, but the prices were very high.
Mm-hmm.
And people were a little bullish towards them. They weren't buying them as much as they were. So the Bordeaux campaign has not been as strong as it has been in the past, where it was a celebrated moment where people were, it's like calling like the stock market, you know, phones are ringing, you know,
yeah,
they're fighting for it. So, but you know, this year, the 2013s that we just released they're good Bordeaux style ones. The prices have come down. Bordeaux is slowly coming back to normal right now.
Yeah, and that's good for your everyday drinker who just likes Absolutely. Really nice wine. You know, it used to be my uncle worked in a pharmacy in the 80s and 90s, and he was able to buy all of this first growth Bordeaux. And now, you know, professionals who really like wine, who are making six-figure salary, like you can't afford some of that stuff. It's just wacky. So, I guess it's good to hear that there's been a price for our end as wine lovers.
We always got to remember, you know, they make the wine for us to drink, so yeah. We want to be able to buy.
One other retail question that I wanted to ask you is: how has the whole scandal and arrest and imprisonment of Rudy Kernowian, I was butcher his last name, who has forged all of this wine? How has that affected things in the retail world?
Oh, it's been big. People are, they're very off. They don't like not knowing where they get their wine from. So they've been coming to us now because they know that we don't mess around. We don't buy from private sellers. We just go direct to the chateaus. We go direct to Burgundy. Everything we had has provenance to it. Nowadays, everyone's just, they kind of joke now when they see a bottle because of Rudy. They're like, is it a real bottle or is it not? You know, that last Spectator issue had that Petrus, well, the bottle of Petrus that Rudy, that the Korean forgery made. Mm-hmm. And they said it looked better than the original.
Jeez.
But it's been a big deal, and people are, they recognize, and that's why our prices are higher. Is it because of our, you know, our product?
You can guarantee it.
We guarantee it's going to be direct first source.
How do you actually go about that? I mean, you have to buy from a distributor,
mm-hmm,
right? Correct. So how do you ensure that, you know, this is in fact the wine that is from the seller?
Because we work directly with the chateaus who go with the same negociants that we've been using for years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the logistics that go with it there's no messing around. It's a planned system that Sherilyn's been doing since the 30s.
All right. Well, I definitely think it makes sense to be shopping in a store like Sherry Lehman or Time Wine Merchants or somewhere where you really do trust it. Even if the cost is a little bit higher, there's, as we spoke about, some bad storage and other shenanigans that can negatively affect your mm-hmm. wine buying experience. But when you get one of these burgundy colored boxes, you know it's going to be good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more with Matt Wong from Sherry Lehman.
Electric Latin Soul. Go, 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 go.
Michter's Distillery is a proud sponsor of In the Drink and HeritageRadioNetwork.org. At Michter's, our passion is making the finest whiskeys possible. When you only make small batch and single barrel whiskeys like Michter's does, your whiskey has to be perfect. No detail is too small, from careful attention to the wood used in the construction of our barrels to lower barrel entry proof before heat cycled aging in advance of exacting chill filtration. And no whiskey gets bottled until Michter's master distiller says it's just right. Michter's Cost Be Damned Taste Is Everything attitude is apparent in every sip of its smooth, rich whiskeys. Is it worth it? A lot of spirits lovers seem to think so. Food & Wine magazine called Michter's the best American whiskey. Bon Appetit said, it's amazing. And the Wall Street Journal had one special word for Michter's, phenomenal. For more information, visit Michter's.com or simply visit your favorite bartender or retailer and ask for Michter's.
And we're back with Matt Wong, the general manager of Sherry Lehman. And Matt, thank you so much. You have brought us three wines to taste. I'm excited to try two of them. One of them I'm a little intimidated by. Tell us what you brought.
So I brought a white wine from Burgundy, but it's not Chardonnay. It's a grape variety called Aligoté, but it's made by probably one of the greatest wine in my book, one of the greatest wine producer in Burgundy. I brought an Italian wine.
It's a Rulo Aligoté.
Yeah, Rulo Aligoté.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest white wine producers, absolutely, right?
Yeah, Jean-Marc Rulo is the master of Meursault. And then I also brought a red wine from Sicily. Not everyone thinks Sicilian wines, you know, they're not that, they're just Nero di Avola, they're good everyday drinking wine. But this wine, they're meant, the sommeliers in the city are talking about, it's the Burgundy of Sicily now. It's called Etno Rosso, which is, it's grown on in a volcano.
Now you're just pandering to me. I love Etno Rosso. This is the Fessina Etno Rosso. So that'll be exciting to taste.
So not your run-of-the-mill that you hear about a lot. And just because it's summertime, it's fun. And something that's kind of, that people don't hear about is Moët Chandon's Ice Imperial, which is you drink champagne on ice, and you have to drink it on ice, or it's not going to taste right.
Do you have to drink it on ice while taking a selfie? Is that required?
Yes. In Moët's book, yes. But who else would come up with something like that? But it's actually it's delicious.
It's delicious. All right. And how much is it?
$60 retail.
$60 for a bottle of wine that you have to put on ice. Okay. Hopefully you make me a believer. I don't know about that one. All right, let's taste the Rulo.
All right, forget.
So we have the Aligoté 2011 from Rulo, and tell us a little bit more about this. Why did you decide to bring this one?
Well, you know, this is Jean-Marc Rulo's wines. You can't find them. They're impossible to get. And if you do get them, you get a couple bottles. But him and his sister and his mother actually do this wine from Aligoté. And Aligoté is a very dry, acidic, crisp wine from Burgundy. They call it the second most grown grape in Burgundy, which is kind of funny because they only supposed to grow Chardonnay. it's a tiny little 1,700 hectare, which is like, it's 4,200 acres.
In all of Burgundy.
In all of Burgundy.
And this is definitely my strategy when drinking wine, especially a Burgundy, is to find a great producer and then go with the lesser known wine from a great producer, because you know that he's still going to be growing grapes the way that he grows grapes and giving care and love and attention to it. It's just maybe not from the very prestigious site. So you're not paying for the real estate, but you're paying for the talent of that winemaker, and I'd rather do that.
Yeah, and it's $22 a bottle, and in Rulo standard, that's very reasonable. And in general, it's a great everyday drinking wine.
I'm really excited. I've through the Paulet, I've been able to try quite a bit of Rulo, and I've never even seen the Aligoté. I'm super excited just smelling it.
It's got his touch on there. That minerality.
Yeah, it's really pronounced mineral. It smells like a more expensive wine than $22. It has a brininess that I wouldn't necessarily expect from Burgundy. I think more Loire Valley kind of brininess. Tons of minerality, tons of acidity. Great food wine. That is awesome. That is really, really, really good.
Yeah, it's one of these. It's we get this wine. We've been buying it for years, and it's one of those kind of hidden gems that once people get it, they buy cases of it. It runs out.
That would be my. I mean, that's what I would buy. That would be my house wine. That is awesome.
And you're trying to show off a bunch of wine geeks. This wine would do it.
Yeah. You could bring that to any. I think any time you have wine geeks together, and that's cool. I mean, you know, you think that maybe wine geeks necessarily need to be impressed by something rare and expensive. I mean, this is certainly rare, but inexpensive. It has that acidity, which as you said, sommeliers are into this wine. Sommeliers love that acidity because it just makes food taste so, so good. I love that. All right, so from Mount Etna, the Fessina.
Wine grown on a volcano.
Love it.
Sicily.
You think about that. That is pretty impressive that these people live on Europe's largest active volcano. That is in a
it's active.
It's in a constant state of eruption, and then every 4 years or so, there's a big one. So
they could wipe out the entire production of this wine.
That's crazy. And they have some pretty old vines there. Do you know this one in particular?
This one's pretty old. I actually don't know the exact date. But these guys have been making wine for a very long time. And the cool thing about these wines is you're not going to get that usual. It's not a big fruit bomb that you get from, because it's so hot there. It's got a lot of it's got this elegance to it because of the minerality in the soil from the volcanic soil they get.
The minerality in the soil, and a lot of the top quality vineyards there are on the northeastern side of Mount Etna, so they don't get necessarily as much sunlight as some of those vineyards in the either on the central on the southern part of Mount Etna or central Sicily, where it gets super, super hot. They're elegant wines. Mm-hmm. This also has a lot of minerality on the nose, a smokiness,
which I love. Yeah. Eat a lot of goat there.
Eat a lot of goat on that.
Eat a lot of goat in that region.
That'd be good. I mean, if you're into that like earthy on umami kind of situation, then.
So these are kind of cool finds that that's why you go to a wine shop like Sherry Lehman, because you talk to our guys when you're looking for something different. You're looking for something, you know. You say you like some wines from Sicily. We like Italian wines. You look for something that's. This is a pretty pricey bottle. It's a $50 bottle retail. But it's probably Sicily's best, and if you're drinking Barbarescos, you're drinking Nebbiolos, you know, those are pricey wines. They get up, you know, Barolos, they get up in the hundreds. This is a great alternative.
Yeah, this is a great alternative. I agree with you. It's delicious.
Very good.
Really, really good. I think both of these, if you're a Burgundy fan and you don't want to spend for top Burgundy, they're good alternatives. There are similarities here, but it's certainly its own thing. I really like that. And thank you for introducing me. I've had Fessina before, but I think they make a less expensive cuvée.
It
hasn't been my favorite. This is truly delicious, though. This is really, really good.
We had this the sommelier blinded us at Casa Libre on this wine, and we were drinking Burgundy, and all of us were like, "What the hell is this glass of wine?" Oops, sorry for.
You can. Oh no! You, I mean, if you don't curse at least once, then they kick you out. So, that's awesome. So, thank you for bringing two really great wines. You have not instilled any more confidence in me that I'm in any which way going to like this Moet. Ice champagne,
and believe it or not,
despite that,
don't put it in the refrigerator.
What?
It's actually better because it's room temperature, because it actually melts faster.
Oh my god, this is ridiculous! And it's in
a white
bottle. It looks like a bowling pin that you. How much does this go for at One Oak?
Oh, $300 a bottle.
Do they sell it there?
Oh, yeah. You name it.
And I'm sorry, that's the only club that I actually really know the name of. So that's all I got for reference. But
so what they do to this one, they make it, it's a heavier, they kind of concentrate it. They concentrate it where you need, it's like a demi-sec.
Through the natural artisanal art of champagne concentration.
Exactly. So when the ice does, the water mixes with it, and it actually finishes it. But believe it, on a hot day,
Wait, was so, that so? That was a room temperature bottle.
That was a room temperature bottle.
How come it did? How come the cork didn't explode everywhere?
Years of opening bottles.
Oh, it's your skill. So if our
be careful.
If our listeners decide to buy a $60 bottle with ice and open it at home, they're gonna at room temp. It's gonna okay. So maybe you guys should chill it just in case.
But drink it on a lot of ice on a hot day.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's like. My cousin, who's about to get married this week, has a fiance who doesn't drink anything. And I was able to get her to drink this. And she can't get enough of it.
Yeah, well. Okay.
What
I have to say, it's 90 degrees out in New York. When you're going to offer me this or the Fessina at Neroso, I might actually choose to drink this. I will not spend $60 of my own hard-earned money on it, however, but I could see it's refreshing. It's not disgusting. I thought it would be. It's very surprising.
And they actually
do you know what the dosage is on this?
Oh, it's high. I know it's high. But the packaging alone, it's very festive.
Yeah.
We run out of this all the time.
No, come on.
Oh, yeah. People can't get enough of it. We have Germans coming in to buy it. They can't. They try to pack it in their suitcases. They're taking it home with them. It's hard to find. We launched it in Miami. We were at Fashion Week, and we have launched this in Miami 5 years ago. And it's taken storm. Like, you'll see it in Miami nightclubs. You'll see it on beaches. But you won't see it everywhere.
You won't see it at, like, Michael's Genuine or...
No, you won't see it at fine restaurants.
Fine restaurants.
You're not going to see it at, three Michelin star restaurants.
Oh, man.
Saint-Tropez, you know, you're on the beach, in Sunset Beach somewhere over at the Shelter Island.
I hate to say, it's, like, reminiscent of champagne, and it's also refreshing, and it doesn't really suck. But... Yeah, a hot day. You know, it's that thing about having wine in the right occasion. You can have a great wine, but it could be the not appropriate occasion for it, and it's lost to it. So I could see in Miami, you're on the beach, you're with a woman with fake breast implants. That would be an appropriate thing to drink. Anyway, sorry, I don't know if I should have said that. Anyway, Matt, thank you so much for making these.
Well, I'm glad I opened your eyes that you've heard of this. You're like, I don't trust it.
No, it's much better than I thought. But when you go to Sherry Lehman, definitely check out the Rulo Aligoté and the Fessina as well as there some of their other wines. I'm sure that you'll find a lot of stuff that's great to drink. You've been a good sport. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe, for having.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This has been In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.